Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Christopher, let's go!
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 8:05, and that's when Zach will be back doing Cubs pre- and post-game. I had the pleasure of doing that yesterday. It was a lot of fun. The Cubs ended up bringing out their bats, and they won 9-1 and all that good stuff. I do want to talk a little bit of Cubs tonight, and I want to give people the opportunity to talk Cubs with me. I got some thoughts on some things that I would like to discuss. The phone number is 312-644-6767. You can also text the show if you are so inclined. 670-11 is the way that you would do that. You can hit me up on Twitter and on Instagram. At Lawrence W. Holmes is the way you can do it. By the way, I talk about this all the time, that I give away tickets sometimes on Instagram and Twitter. That is the case right now. I got four tickets to Cubs White Sox on Saturday. Over on the south side, I'm not going. You can go. If you go to my Instagram, there's a link in my bio for iGrow Chicago. You donate $50. I throw you in a hat. On Friday, I'm going to draw a winner. Or if you just want to go to iGrowChicago.org and donate $50 and then send a receipt to me via email, lawrence.holmes@intercom.com. I throw you in the hat. We draw on Friday, and you could have four tickets to go see the game on Saturday. So I'm looking forward to it. I'll retweet it, too. So if you're like, wait, what are you talking about? I wasn't going fast enough. But all you need is a $50 donation that gets you in the pool, and then we'll draw one person who will get all four tickets. My seats are 531, which I think are the most underrated seats in the ballpark because they are behind home plate. I actually use them quite a bit. I use them more than when I had – I think I was in section like 142 last year, and I use my 531 tickets way more than I use those. So it's a great vantage point. The money would go to a really good cause, igrowchicago.org. And I would love for you to enjoy, since I can't go, I would love for you to enjoy the game and help out a good cause at the same damn time. Okay? So there, I'll retweet it for those of you who are on the Twitter.com. At Lawrence W. Holmes is where you can find me. I think I did put it in my Twitter bio. Did I? Let me check real quick here. I thought for sure that I did. No, I still got the House of L stuff there. I'll change that, and I'll put the donate in my bio for Twitter and Instagram, and that'll make it really easy. And then you could just email me, and I'll put you in the pool. Cool? Cool. So you and I have not had the opportunity to talk about the Bears game on Monday night. I did the House of L podcast. I obviously did the post-game show, or the football after show. That's what we have to call it legally. The football after show on NBC Sports Chicago with Lance and Matt and Alex. I have some thoughts about Monday's game and the future of the quarterback position for the Chicago Bears. You may have some. How about, which would you prefer? Would you prefer that I start talking about the quarterback, or would you prefer that I start talking about the defense? Would you rather hear the good first and then we delve into the not so good, or would you rather hear the not so good now? Christopher, you have that look on your face. What are you trying to say?
Go defense first.
Okay.
Start off on a good note.
On a good note?
Start off on a good note, and then the bad stuff doesn't hit as hard.
Herbie?
I agree. Defense first.
All right, so we'll leave the Mitch conversation for a little bit later on, or later in this segment. because I know that people do want to talk about it. But I since I haven't had the chance, I would like to get your reaction to the game. And I didn't have my Bears Tuesday, so I'm hoping to have my Bears Wednesday. 312-644-6767 is the number if you would like to jump in and talk about the team. Now, let me tell you about this defense. Man, Danny Trevathan named Defensive Player of the Week in the NFC. I'm still trying to figure out how Khalil Mack wasn't Defensive Player of the week before, but whatever. You are looking at a Bears defense now that I think, I don't ordinarily come out with the big blazing hot take prediction type stuff. It's not really how I'm wired, but I do like to tell you how I feel about things, and I try to tell you the truth about how I feel about things. I look at the way that that defense has played in the first two games. I look at the effect that Khalil Mack has had on this defense and what he does to offenses, and I see a defense that is Super Bowl worthy. I think if the Bears defense can stay relatively healthy, they are a Super Bowl worthy defense. I think the Bears have the potential to be the best defense in the NFL this year because of the difference that Khalil Mack makes. Here's the crazy part. The Bears had a couple of players that were like pretty good. Like I would put Akeem Hicks and Danny Trevathan in the pretty good category. Like right there on the edge of Pro Bowl. And Akeem Hicks should have gone to the Pro Bowl last year. He should have been voted in. He was that good last year. I think their safeties are pretty good. I like Amos and I like Jackson. And a little thunder and lightning back there. Jackson's going to come up with the big plays on the ball. Amos is going to knock you over when you try to run. Their corners are a little questionable. But so far, so good. Prince Amukamara with a pick six takes it to the house. Great. He learned something like in the game. The running back ran a BS route. He read it, jumped it, and went to the house for six. Their defensive line now, with depending on you know what the formation is and where Mack is lining up, I think that they're trouble. Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman are trouble. We saw Aaron Lynch come out there and play at the linebacker spot and have a really solid game. He's another guy, like you worry about health with him. If he's healthy, though, it looks like he's a guy that can play a little bit. And then you talk about Mack. Mack elevates everyone. He takes a defense that was pretty good and elevates it to maybe the best in the league, perhaps Super Bowl level. That guy is destructive. It's fun to watch him from play to play. Like when you just see him crash into Dave Matthews, crash into these tackles and the effect that it has on them. His combination of speed and power and smarts. He's relentless. I remember seeing a clip before the Packers game. I want to say it was Matt Bowen who broke it down, where he was chasing Aaron Rodgers. This is when he was a Raider. He's chasing Aaron Rodgers, and he was doing this like zigzag step where he was closing in on Rodgers and also at the same time keeping him from escaping. So it wasn't just like, I'm wild and crazy. Like, I'm just coming at the quarterback and I'm doing it on one plane. It was almost as if I'm going to make a really old reference right now. Herbie, you're probably the only person who gets it. Do you remember the video game Tron?
I do.
So remember when you're doing the light cycle thing and then you have to race and you have to cut off your opponent and make it so that they can't?
Yeah.
That's what Khalil Mack did. He makes it so the quarterback ends up trapped while he's closing in. So he takes these like stair steps towards Aaron Rodgers, and he did it to Russell Wilson. And I was just sitting there going, this guy has a plan. He's so good. Raise your hand if you got the Tron reference. I know Christopher didn't because he's too damn young.
You should put your hand back on the wheel.
Well, you can have one hand on the wheel. Just for a second. I mean, put it back now, but if you got it, then raise your hand if you're sure. Herbie's also the only person who got that reference. But that's fine. That's what we do. The show works on multiple levels.
I remember one time I was on a bus, and I wasn't sure. And so you know, you have your hand up, and it was a crowded bus, and I just like did that.
Did the sniff test?
Yeah, I was like, I'm sure.
Then you became more sure.
And it wasn't the sure thing. It was more degree.
Wow.
Because if you just wash yourself, you're still going to be funky.
It's true. You have your regular scent, right? That's what, and there's a whole thing now. I was on Windy City Live. I'm actually going to do that again on Friday, but I was on Windy City Live, and there's now like this dating thing where you can smell people and figure out if your essence matches up with their essence, which I thought was a little creepy, but I totally understand it. I get it. We are still mammals, and that's that. So yes, Khalil Mack has a plan, and watching him have a plan is just glorious. It's one thing to be a physically dominant player. It's another thing when you can match that physical dominance with smarts. And Khalil Mack seems to be able to do that. He is terrifying. He is number one on top of the scouting report for every team that the Bears are going to play. And what that does is that makes a pretty good player like Akeem Hicks even better. A pretty good player like Danny Trevathan even better. Danny Trevathan is trying to take the ball from people. And I like that about him. I like that there is some of that. And I was joking with Forte and Alex and Lance about that, because that's what their defenses did. And I felt like over the last few years, it's not what the Bears defense was trying to do. I felt like they were just trying to, let's get off the field on third down. Let's not make any big mistakes. Let's not give up any chunk plays. But now I think that they're actively looking to turn teams over. And I think that makes them more dangerous. This hour being brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. And this segment is being brought to you by Subway. Check out three signature wrap flavors to savor at Subway restaurants. Try the classic style of the Turkey Italiano melt. Get yourself some bold taste with Chipotle Southwest steak and cheese, or enjoy the tangy flavor of the Buffalo Chicken Wrap. Subway, make it what you want. Let's talk. 312-644-6767 is the number. Huntley and Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on The Score.
What's going on, Lawrence? I just want to say a couple things. I agree with you on the defensive aspect that, you know, there's no reason this team shouldn't be top three defense, if not the top defense. I do think, like you noted as well, that Kyle Fuller, I don't think is any good. I think he's playing on a contract year. And Prince, I don't think he's good either. I know he got a pick six and everything, but he got on a very, very weak offense with Seattle. I mean, Seattle, the only thing they got going for him right now is Russell Wilson. Another thing, though, the main point I wanted to make, just watching Mitch Trubisky, I think that's going to be the problem for the Bears for this year, for the years to come.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Christopher, didn't we say that what we were going to do is we were going to talk about the Bears' defense? Like, wasn't that the goal?
Defense first to go on a high note.
Right? Like, did I mess it up?
No.
Because I thought that was the plan. I thought
you
we
haven't
were
even
be,
mentioned Mitch yet.
We were going to be really positive about how good the Bears' defense was. And then people were going to call in and we were going to talk about the Bears' defense. Do the people not want to talk about the Bears' defense?
The calls I've taken have all wanted to talk about the Bears' defense.
But, I mean, Mike kind of was like, he ran through the defensive stuff like the Roadrunner.
He's like, yeah, it's good. Defense is good. We're going on now.
Right. And then he was like, but let me tell you about this Mitch Trubisky. Let me tell you about him.
Trubisky.
All right, I'm going to let him finish his point. All right, Mike, you were saying.
I'm just saying, like, let's face it. Like, we know this defense is elite. We saw it last year when they were injured. They look phenomenal, right? They gave Mitch and the offense so many chances, and they made that game look close. Like they made it a one possession game, Seattle, right? And honestly, with the way the defense played, you have a mediocre offense and a mediocre quarterback. That could easily be a 42-0, a 30-0 game. And when you see Mitch back there, you know, everyone says, oh, you know, this is his first season in new offense. He hasn't had a full season. I mean, he's had 14 games in an offseason. It's not like he just had 14 games in 1 year. He's had 2 years of half and half. He looks scared back there. He doesn't look poised. And there's a difference between inexperienced and scared, okay? There's quarterbacks that throw picks. You see on the sideline, they look frustrated. They look mad. I literally think he looks scared, like there's fear in his eyes. And when he gets nervous, he just launches the ball and gets happy with the feet. And I know, yes, he's a rookie quarterback. It happens.
He's not a rookie quarterback.
Okay. He's a second-year quarterback. But my main point is, with this whole Khalil Mack thing, don't get me wrong.
Don't try to bring it back now. Don't try to bring it back to Khalil Mack now. You wanted to talk about Mitchell Trubisky. It's fine that you wanted to. It's totally fine. I just think that people are doing a lot of gymnastics they're seeing the comparisons with Watson and Mahomes. And it's like, you can't compare them. Those are two totally different situations. But, he might be Jared Goff, though. He might also be Carson Wentz. Wait, those are two totally different situations. Oh, but that works in your favor when it comes to the Mitch argument. You love to talk about how maybe Matt Nagy is Sean McVay. And then Mitch could be Jared Goff because, well, he's a second-year guy with a new coach. And things just magically happen when that happens. I'm going to tell you something, and it might hurt somebody's feelings up at Hallis Hall. Sean McVay seems to be a generational dude. Like, he seems to be one of those special guys. I think that Matt Nagy's probably going to be good. I don't sense that he's a generational guy. But it's just funny. Like, we're not supposed to compare him to the dudes in his draft class, but we are supposed to look at the situations in Philadelphia and with the Rams and go, oh, yeah, he could be that. Y'all be tripping. Hey, Matt, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. Am I right? You know, I grew up in northern New Jersey, and I remember when the Giants got Lawrence Taylor, and I see a lot of similarities between him and Khalil Mack. And the Giants were probably worse than the Bears were. And Lawrence Taylor made an average defense great. Now, maybe Khalil Mack doesn't have Taylor's mean streak, but he's got everything else. And I could just see he could get them to the playoffs just by carrying them to the playoffs.
Well, I don't know if it'll just be him by himself, but you're not wrong. Here's the thing. When the Bears traded for Khalil Mack, I had Greg Gabriel on my show. And people, when he tweeted this out, like, I put a pin in it because I knew I wanted to talk to him about it because Greg used to work for the Giants in the 80s. Listen to what Greg said about Khalil Mack.
Player I compare him to and have compared him to really for years is a player that I spent a lot of time with, and that's Lawrence Taylor. When I was, you know, with New York, I came to the Giants, I think it was Lawrence's third year, so I was with the Giants the rest of his career, and he was the best defensive player I've ever been around and really wrote the book, changed the game on how outside pass rushers play the game, and I think that Mack is in that same type of mold. They're similar size, speed, strength, explosiveness, and when you watch tape of Khalil Mack, there's a lot of similarity between his play and Lawrence Taylor's play.
That is really high praise, Greg. And I mean, I know that you know because you were there and you had the opportunity. It's not often that you hear an actual comparison to Lawrence Taylor. So walk me through it. Watching Khalil Mack reminds you of Lawrence Taylor. Why?
Well, part of it, the quickness off the ball. Well, let's start at the beginning. Size. They're both 6'3". Actually, Mack's a little bit bigger than Lawrence was when Lawrence came out of North Carolina. Lawrence was about 243, played most of his career with the Giants at around 250, 255. But then, you know, he was one of those guys that didn't want to step on the scale. So I don't know if we really have an official weight for a good part of the time he was here. But similar size, Lawrence probably a little bit longer. Speed, very, very similar explosiveness. Mac had, I think, a 10-8 long jump and a 40-inch vertical jump, which for a guy that size is amazing. He ran 4.6 and change at the combine. Then he came back, and I was at the pro day, so I know it's verified. At his pro day at the University of Buffalo, he ran about 4.57. So he's got a lot of speed, a lot of strength, very, very explosive. He's a quick starter coming off the ball, either from a three-point or a two-point stance, and then that bend that he has, his dip and his bend to be able to get underneath an opponent. He can bull rush, he can spin, he can rip, you know, he can just get underneath the guy and beat him with speed off the edge. Any way he wants to do it, he can do it, and he's got that want to be able to do it. And when you go, if you go put on tape of Lawrence when he was in his prime with the Giants, they're just very, their movement skills and everything else are very, very similar.
That's a guy who's scouted in the NFL for 30 years. And his default after seeing Khalil Mack was Lawrence Taylor. Wow. And the first two games, you know what you've seen? You haven't just seen Lawrence Taylor. You've seen Lawrence Taylor Tecmo Bowl. That's what you've seen with Khalil Mack. Line him up wherever. He can't be blocked. Or if he is being blocked, he's pushing the quarterback into someone else. Danny Trevathan or Akeem Hicks. Or whomever else. The guy is a monster, and I freaking love watching him play. 312-644-6767 is the number. We're talking Bears. We'll throw in a little bit of Cubs. By the way, the link is in my Twitter bio, so if you want an opportunity to win my White Sox Cubs tickets for Saturday, I got four of them, make a donation. In my bio, there's a link to iGrow. You make a $50 donation, that puts you in the pool. Email me, lawrence.holmes@intercom.com, and I'll put you in the pool, and we'll draw a winner Friday, and then Saturday you can go see the game. All right? Back after this in the score.
Third and 17 from midfield. In the gun, 17 on the play clock. The snap is back. Big push by Rob again. Pocket starts to close. Wilson Football. In trouble. Ball comes out at the 40-yard line. They get to him again. He is being cornered in the pocket, unable to get out, and the Bears defense to a standing ovation here at Soldier Field. Come off with a big play on third and long.
Jeff Joniak on the call. Our sister station, WBBM, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. If you haven't listened to the games on FM, I highly recommend it. It's a different experience. And I know that there are a lot of people in the listening area that can't, but if you can, you should. I know that like it's hard for us to change our habits. You probably have 780 as a preset. Just on game day, just try it one time and listen to what it sounds like on 105.9 if you're in the listening area for the FM signal. Trust me, you'll hear things that you haven't heard. It's great. Sports is live on FM is just amazing. It's an amazing sound. Thanks for being a part of the show. I'm Lawrence. I know I've been kind of in and out lately, like the burger. And, I mean, that's kind of the case. We've still got Cubs stuff and football's back, and soon the Bulls will be on. But I try to do what I can. A texter here says, this reminds me of 85. 85 had, like, Hall of Famers everywhere. The Bears have one potential Hall of Famer on their defense. So it's not like 85. I'd hear the argument that it's closer to 05, 06, 07 Bears. But it's not 85.
Can we bury it? Can we bury 85?
I mean, eventually we literally will, because all those people that remember it will be dead. But yeah, there's still people who are clinging on to it.
Like every White Sox team is 05. Yeah. Every Bears team is 85. No.
No. No. Every Cubs team is 16, though, because it's the same people in charge and the same components are still there. For the main components are still there. Shout out to Chris Bryant, by the way. That dude clearly has something wrong with his shoulder, and he's still balling. Still doing what he can. Chris Bryant's such a great player that he's probably, what would we say, 75, 80% of himself, maybe less than that. And yeah, I'm not going to hit as many home runs, but I'm still going to hit over 300. I can barely use that shoulder, but I'm still going to hit over 300. And that's what he's done since he's been back. And he is one of the most underrated base runners in baseball. He is a smart base runner. And that's not something you can always say about this Cubs team. There's some dumb base running that's gone on this year in particular. Oh, by the way, I tweeted out the link if you want my tickets for Saturday, Cubs versus White Sox, at Lawrence W. Holmes. So make it nice and easy for you. It's all explained right there at the top of my timeline on the Twitter.com. South Shore and Bill. Hey, Bill, you're on the Score.
Hey, what's going on, Lawrence? Great show as always, man.
Thank you.
I was gonna follow what you said. But, you know, just after the last few days, these callers, you had that one on talking about Mitch, and I just can't take the ignorance in terms of knowledge of what goes on in the NFL as far as quarterbacks and the lack of historical reference with Bears quarterbacks. So I just got to – I'll be quick. I mean, this is a team – I mean, I don't have to run through the names. Peter Tom Willis, Rick Myers.
We really – like, let's – can I just stop you there for a second, Bill?
Yes.
Let's not judge – Mitch on history either. I don't like that at all. I don't like the idea of Mitch can be bad because Bears quarterbacks have been bad. To me, that's BS.
Okay, I understand that. What I will say is that what people don't understand is the amount of time when people call for him to be benched. Do you understand how bad he would have to be benched?
Whoa. Who's doing that? Is that happening? Are there people that want Mitch benched?
There are
benched?
People that are calling in. Quite a bit.
For real?
Vocal minority.
No.
I'll dismiss those people. Out of hand.
I'm not even like, I'm definitely like, because there's a lot of Mitch stans in Chicago media. I'm not one of those. I wouldn't say that I'm a hater, but I would say that I'm a critic. Benching him, that's ridiculous. There are people who are saying that?
They call in. That Chase Daniel guy is going to be a whole lot better.
No.
Yep.
No. They're asking for Chase Daniel?
Yeah.
78 passes, right, Herbie, in his career?
Yeah, a lot of money for that.
At this point, Mitch has thrown as many passes in this offense as Chase Daniel has, right? What's Mitch thrown, like 70 passes? I think in his first two games, he's thrown 70 passes. You're going to turn it over to Chase Daniel? It's questionable. If we are at the point where Mitchell Trubisky is benchworthy, then everyone's fired. That is premature. Forest Park and Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence, enjoying your perspective on Mitch, and everybody needs to take a frickin' breath on this guy. But I've heard this narrative that, well, because the Bears grabbed Khalil Mack, now we can't wait for the offense. We can't be patient. The offense has to get up to speed now. To me, that's idiotic, because what the theory would be then, they should have looked at Khalil Mack and said, you know, our offense is not going to be ready for a while. We're not sure what we got. So we're going to pass on this opportunity to grab Khalil Mack. That's idiotic.
No, can I tell you why it's not idiotic? Because there are financial factors at work. And now if you get a quarterback that you think can play at a high level in the draft, it behooves you as an organization to win while that guy is on his rookie deal. It's the Russell Wilson template. And now you've spent $144 million on an ass kicker on defense. So let's say that Ryan Pace is right. Matt Nagy is right. Mitchell Trubisky is the future of the quarterbacking spot for the Chicago Bears for the long term. If that's the case and he plays to that level between now and 2 years from now, he's going to get a whole bunch of money. So you want to win before the quarterback gets all the money, because after that, you're going to be hamstrung. Your quarterback better be transcendent if you're going to give them $100 million. It better be Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. guys that can will teams to win. It better be Drew Brees, because they will murder your cap. And you already have the cap murder of Khalil Mack weighing on the cap. That's why people say that the offense needs to get up to speed. The great thing about the situation that the offense is in is that the defense seems to be pretty good. So you can live through some of these growing pains right now because the defense seems to have an idea of what they want to do and how they're going to do it. Deerfield and Ricky. Ricky! You're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm good, thanks. Hey, I'm really loving the defense. I think it's going to be a fun season to watch the Bears defense. I'm so frustrated, though, with Kyle Fuller. How long have you been watching football, Lawrence? NFL football?
I don't know. Does it matter?
Ballpark guess.
I mean, I'm 43, so I'd probably say like 38 years.
Okay. Have you ever noticed a receiver? Have you ever seen a receiver catch a ball who didn't look for it? Or didn't put his hands up? Because I've never seen it happen. I don't know why Kyle Fuller just can't.
Hey, Ricky. How long have you been watching football?
I've been watching football about 44 years religiously.
Okay.
So it just frustrates me. I mean, he's typically.
Let me ask you another question.
Go ahead.
Have you ever seen a receiver catch a ball without, you know, moving their head or putting their arms up?
No. No, I haven't.
Let me ask you another question.
Okay.
So if you had to do it all over again between one and Jimmy Butler or Derrick Rose, which one would you choose?
I would choose Derrick Rose.
All right, let me ask you another question, Ricky.
Okay.
Red or blue?
Blue.
All right, one more. Hot dogs or hamburgers?
I'd say hamburger.
All right, wait, one more question. Thin crust or deep dish?
Oh, it's thin. I'm the rare Chicagoan who doesn't like deep dish. It's thin crust.
All right, thanks for the phone call.
I thought you were going to pull a it doesn't matter on him.
No. No. Ricky's good intent. It got good intentions, right?
Yes.
How long you been? Hey, where'd you coach your ball at? Texas says Ricky's got about 6 years on me. That's right. But you know how he did it? He waited for me to answer first. And then he could do like the Price is Right thing on me. What's your bid, Mr. Holmes? Well, mine is 38 years, Drew. What about you, Ricky? 39 years. The retail price is 39 years. Ricky, come on up. Da, dun, da, da. I like Drew Carey. I actually enjoy The Price is Right. That's a good little block of programming CBS has.
You know that he has LASIK surgery, but he looked too weird without glasses. They made him put them back on.
He looks like Rick Camp.
Yeah. So he can actually see without those glasses. They're just for cosmetic.
He's a really interesting dude. He was on an episode of Mark Maron's podcast, and it was fascinating, like hearing him come up through the comedy game. I enjoyed it. He's a Marine too. Like, unfortunately, he's a Cleveland fan, but I do want to go see the Seattle Sounders.
He's like a part owner of that team, right?
Yeah, I want to go see that. 847 Texas, why don't you quit interrupting people and stop asking stupid questions? See, what had happened was and then he asked me, and so then I thought I would just, but you don't get it, and that's okay, because other people got it. And I do the show for the people who get it, and they got it, but you didn't. Bless your heart. That's Layla's new thing on Twitter. Layla Rahimi's new thing is bless your heart. Bless your heart. Wait a minute. Jim, before I get to your phone call, Chris, do I need a break? I do, because I don't want to start Jim's call and then So, Jim, hang on. I promise when we come back, you will be first up. We're going to take a timeout. And see, now people are texting in. Hamburger. Yes, exactly. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. That's what I should have done. I should have gone with the rock thing. People would have understood that. I try to give them something different. And this is what you give me. It's crap. Be better. Be better. Back after this on The Score. Anthony Herron is supposed to stop by in the 7 o'clock hour. I have a lot of stuff that I want to talk with him about. He does the second best post-game show in Chicago. Yeah, I said it. The best one, on television at least, is the one on NBC Sports Chicago, the one that I host, with Alex Brown and Lance Briggs and Matt Forte. Yeah, he's got Corey Wooten and Shea Pepler. You know, he's with a group of really good people. That's the second best. On television, on radio, you know where it is. You know where the post game is. It's with Olin and with Big Cat and with Hub. They crack me up. I love it when you can tell like Olin's annoyed about something. It's a lot of fun to listen to. So we'll talk with Big Ant coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We're talking a little bit of Bears. We tried as a show. We tried at the top of this show to talk about the Bears defense. I give you the Khalil Mack is Lawrence Taylor thing. I want to talk about how good Danny Trevathan is and Akeem Hicks. How I like the safeties. You had an Aaron Lynch sighting. Nope. You all want to talk about Mitchell Trubisky. And then you get mad at me when we talk about Mitchell Trubisky and I give you my thoughts on it. How is that fair? That just seems unfair. Here's the thing, though, about that. If you are in the camp of, well, he's a second-year guy in a new system, then you're admitting that the Bears drafted a project. And if the Bears drafted a project, they probably didn't need to trade picks to do it. Don't tell anyone I said that, though. Because it's apparently blasphemous to point out that he's not as good as he probably should be at this point. And again, if the ground that you're going to plant your flag on is he's a project. He's still got a lot to learn. You don't trade up for picks. You don't trade multiple picks to move one spot to get that.
And while there are other people that hit the ground running.
This was my feeling on draft night. It has been my feeling last year. It will continue to be my feeling until Mitchell Trubisky proves to me that he's much better than Mahomes and Watson. He can't just be a little bit better. He has to be much better. You traded draft capital for that. If he's even, you lost. He's got to be better. And I'm sorry that upsets people that I'm setting a high standard for the quarterback of the GD Bears. Let's go out. Oh, wait. I promised Jim. I'm sorry, Miles. Hang on. All right, Jim. You're up. What's on your mind?
Oh, okay. Well, all right. You want to talk about let's talk about the quarterback. You know, I see a lot of potential in him. He has potential. This is only his second game, and people are ready to write him off. I think give him at least a half of the season.
Jim, he's played in 14 games.
Hey, you can't consider last year. He had nobody to throw to last year.
All right, wait. Okay. So, wait. Because I remember fighting the entire Score roster. The entire Score roster. On why it didn't make sense for Mitchell Trubisky to play. Because he was going to develop bad habits. And I was shouted down repeatedly. No. He's got to play. He's got to play. It'll make him better in the long run that he played. And I said, well, do you really want him to play in this offense for this coach? And they said, oh, absolutely. Any rep that he gets in the NFL is a good rep. And I was like, are you sure about that? And they were like, yeah, we're completely sure. You're an idiot. You didn't cover the NFL for 10 years. Okay, great. So now we're back to the point of Mitch had a bad season last year and has to unlearn the stuff from last season. That's where we're at now. Because there were, I think that Anthony was with me on this. I'll ask him about that. I think we were the only, me, him, and Hub were the only ones that were like, it might not be the best idea.
No, I didn't shout you down, but I thought you were wrong.
And was I right? I'm right. Say it.
You're right. They paid $18 million to a quarterback that they was supposed to take the spot of for Mitch so he didn't have to play.
And then
he was terrible, and you had to put Mitch in for under a coach that you knew wasn't going to be there.
And Christopher, when I said, if you trusted Ryan Pace's scouting eye when he brought you Mike Glennon, how can you be so confident that he got it right with Trubisky? Again, shout it down.
And this is not saying that we don't think that Mitch will eventually be a good quarterback.
Correct.
You got to criticize him when he does play poorly. I don't care how many games. It's the NFL. It's not baseball. These games count. And an eighth of a season's gone by where he's played poorly. Can't have that.
And you're so right, Herbie, because look, I haven't seen any real wow moments from Mitch. There have been a couple, like, where I've been like, okay, I do think that he's got the arm talent. I think that his athleticism is overreported. The way people talk about Mitch is there, it's like he's Mike Vick. Like, that's enough. He's got some escapability, and he's actually, I think he's a pretty decent open field runner. But sometimes that throw that almost got picked in the end zone, where he spun around like a top and just like, screw it. And threw it up there. I was like, oh, no. We all said it. We all were like, oh, no. And luckily, the Seahawks couldn't figure out who was going to intercept it. All I'm saying is pick a lane on this. I picked mine. I told you the guy shouldn't play. You told me we want our shiny new toy. We traded up to get him, so throw him out there. And I said, because John Fox is going to try to win games this year, so he's not worried about the development of the quarterback. Doesn't matter. He's getting NFL reps. So sit down and shut up, Holmes, with your trying to get the most out of the quarterback that you traded up to draft. You and your silly trying to make him good. We want him now. It's like J.G. Wentworth with y'all. He's our quarterback. We want him now. One of these days, you're going to listen to me. It's not often that I'm right, but damn it, when I am right, you're going to hear about it. I fought the entire SCORE roster. Jason Goff is my best friend, and I yelled at him for 20 minutes about this on a remote. Because him and Bernstein were like, no, 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 he's got to play now. No. And this is what you get. You get a guy with bad habits that now Matt Nagy's got to go in there and undo. And now you're like, well, he's only played two games. Man, y'all can kiss my ass. Back after this on the SCORE.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.